The first couple verses, I put them in the outline there. It says, therefore, begins with that word, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and His pleasing and perfect will. I really like that. It's just such a blessing. Notice that it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Now, in that verse, right when it opened up, there was a key word there, therefore. And that one really spoke to me. Therefore is telling me that everybody in this world builds their life on something. I think that's what it's trying to communicate. Now, he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, he's going to call us in the next chapters, 12 through 16, how to live a Christian life. But he's doing that based on what he's already shared in chapters 1 through 11. In other words, Christianity has a foundation. It has something that it's built on. It has roots that goes into the promises of God. It has a foundation. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And it moves us. It makes us, you know, it's interesting in this verse. It says that give your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And then at the end of that, he says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. It's interesting that he doesn't say doing these things is going to make you good and pleasing. That's what I might expect him to say. That if you do these things, then you'll be good and pleasing to God. He says you already are good and pleasing to God. He says you already are. You're walking in these deeds that God has set for you to do. Have you guys ever seen the show Mission Impossible? Seen the movies or the TV show? I like that one. I like the movies and I like the TV show, but really just for the very beginning part of it, where they get their mission. You know, I think that's really cool. And they have to choose whether they want to accept it or not. Now, they're already agents. They don't become agents by doing the mission. They're already agents. That's why they receive the mission and they choose whether to accept it. You are already Christians. You're already people of God. And God is asking you to live your mission, your life as a mission for Him. That's what He's calling us to do. And, you know, it much better than Mission Impossible, because Mission Impossible is kind of lame. Because if you blow it and you don't do the mission, they're just going to deny everything and throw you under the bus. But God doesn't do that. God sticks with you and He holds on to you. There's a verse you need to write down. It's Deuteronomy 31:7. It's repeated again in Hebrews 13:5. It says this in Deuteronomy, the Lord Himself goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So now Paul's going to talk about our life and I say, therefore, you've been built. You've been built up by the things that have been shared in chapters 1 through 11. And what he's getting to is what you put into your mind, what you think is going to influence your conduct. Our hearts, our daily lives, are shaped by what we believe. This is essential. This is Paul just gives this as a given. That's what the therefore is getting to. You have all this information, all this doctrine. It's for a purpose. Therefore, build your life on this. Let it influence your thought and your mind. Let me share somebody with you that shows you how important this principle is. You've probably never heard of this guy. I know that you've never met him. His name is Saeed Tub, K-U-T-B. It's Arabic. I don't speak Arabic. This guy, you've never met him, but I can guarantee you, your life, every day that you live, every breath you take, every thought you think is influenced by him. He lived like 50 years ago. He was a radical, hateful person. He was a radical, just a politician in Egypt. And his favorite read was Hitler. And he was just passionate about it. He hated everybody. He hated Jews. He hated Christians. He hated the West. He was just full of hatred. And the Egyptians were so alarmed by this radical politician that they put him in jail in the 60s. And finally, in 1966, they hung him to death. But even while he was in jail, he spread his venom and he poisoned the minds of many people. His brother Muhammad picked up his cause. You probably never heard of Muhammad. Muhammad returned to Saudi Arabia and began to teach these teachings in a university in Saudi Arabia. His number one star pupil was someone that you know, you've heard of, Osama bin Laden. Now, this was an idea that came from Saeed that was actually fomented and spread by him. It was picked up in the mind of his pupils, and they spread that from their head to their heart to you. And your life every day is affected by the thoughts of one person. This is reality. And what God's saying is let your life, because there's a lot of really bad stuff out there. And he's saying to us, let your life be directed by God. We need, you and I need, as Christians, to be directed by the Word of God. We need God's promises, that strength, that security that comes from that. The point is that every idea in our mind has consequences. Every idea, whether good or bad, has consequences. Even the most trivial of ideas do. And some people might be wondering, this is a good question, because I know some people think this. You know, is there really any objective truth? Because I'm asking you to build your life on the promises of God. Is there really objective truth in the world? You know, my answer is absolutely there is. I believe that there is and that God wants you to build on it. Now, you know, the urban legend out there is this. The urban legend is that the Bible was passed down from generation to generation. And so therefore it makes sense that it got changed in the transmission. That as it's translated from language to language, it had changed. And, you know, when you go from this language to that language, it's just going to be influenced in some ways. But that's really just a legend, because that's like saying there's alligators in the sewers of New York. It's not true. I mean, the reality is when they go to translate your Bible, the translators look at 12,000 plus manuscripts and they compare them all. And some of those manuscripts go back almost to the time when the Bible was originally written. And so what you have is exactly what God wants to say. And he wants to say it to you. And he wants to speak it to your heart for two main reasons. The two main reasons that he wants to speak to your heart is, one, he wants to build you up internally. He wants to build you up on the mercies of God. Paul mentions, of all the things that Paul could mention, he's talked about a whole number of things in this epistle. He's mentioned God's righteousness, his judgment, fall into sin, Christ's death, his resurrection, sovereignty. That's what 11 and 10 and going back to 9. All this stuff. He sums it all up when he comes to Christian living, and he says it all boils down to the mercies of God. God's mercy to you, and you sharing that mercy with someone else. Isn't that amazing? I think that's just so wonderful that he concentrates on that. My daughter and I, I'll come back to it at the end, my daughter and I had a deep theological discussion. You know, we like to talk God. And so we were talking about a month ago, is there a difference between grace and mercy? Now think about that. We believe that there is. Grace and mercy are not the same thing. And yet, what Paul's saying is build your life on mercy. Now, first of all, for you personally, that's where it begins. Before you can share anything, you can't share what you don't know. God wants you to know the mercy of God. He wants to know you to know it deep inside your heart and your mind. And then it will influence others. But first it has to influence in you. How that works is like this. I put in your outline, living by the mercies of God, there's a section from Psalm 56. Now, I would invite you later on to read through that psalm. I would encourage you to read through that psalm and check out also 1 Samuel 21:10 through 15. The reason why I would mention 1 Samuel 21 is because it gives you background to this psalm. The psalm was written by David, and David's having a horrible time in his life. What's happening with David is King Saul is chasing him, tried to throw a spear at him, tried to kill him numerous times. David ran and hid with some priests, northern part of the country. Saul heard about it, went to the place. David had fled. Saul butchers all the priests that are there. And David runs to the land of the Philistines. Goliath was a Philistine, so now he's among his enemies. The Philistines start thinking about this, and they go, hey, wait a minute, this is David. We need to off this guy. And David, in order to be safe, pretends that he is a lunatic. And one of the leaders of the Philistines makes a comment and says, well, look, all this pressure has made him insane. He's harmless. Let's just leave him alone. And so David feigns madness, and as a result, he escapes. Now, that's what you see on the outside. That's what actually is really happening in David's real world. These words right here are what he confessed. This is what he believed. And this is a prayer. This is the fear not prayer in the Bible. That's really what this is. And just hear what's in his heart now. He says, when I'm afraid, I will trust you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. Fill in the blank there. What are you afraid of? I will not be afraid of whatever that is. You need to put that in there. You need to fill that in. And you need to think, what am I afraid of? What am I scared of? And then say these words to yourself. You actually speak them to yourself. And the Word of God creates faith, sustains faith. For us, it's a means of grace. It's how God puts that grace in you. And it is just mercy on top of mercy on top of mercy. It's to strengthen you on the inside. It's to build you up. To fortify you. Because there's all sorts of thoughts in our minds. There's all sorts of thoughts in this world. And God wants you to be strong. He wants you to have the strength that comes from His Word. And so He builds us up on the inside, but it doesn't stop there. God wants you to live your life as an example of His mercies. God wants you to be an expression of that to others. You know, when my daughter and I were talking about grace and mercy, and we were just chatting on the phone for a while, we got off on this for a little bit. We came to the conclusion that there is absolutely a difference between grace and mercy. And this is the idea that we thought, is that grace, you can just receive, but you don't have to do anything. You can get grace. Your sins can be forgiven. You can receive grace. It can just be a total gift to you, and there's really nothing that you have to do. It's just something that you receive that's just absolutely free. Mercy, in my thinking and our thinking, is different. Mercy requires an action. Mercy requires feet that take you to somebody that's hurting. Mercy requires words that causes you to pray for that person. Mercy is something where you give monetarily or you actually do something that follows it through so the person can say in their life, someone had mercy on me. You notice it, you feel it, you sense it. Mercy is real. It has hands and feet. It has a mouth. It has ears. It has a touch. And God says He wants us to touch the world. He wants us to be the hands of mercy that have touched you in your heart. He wants others to sense that and know that as well. You know, and actually, I'm kind of serious about that. I've been thinking about this for a while now. As I said, you know, Rachel and I were visiting about this about a month ago. And, you know, I would like you to give some thought about being merciful and taking this out into your world. Extend that mercy. Extend the mercy of God to someone around you. You know, here's a thought. Pray for someone who has been mean to you. Extend them that mercy. Just reach it out to them. Find a way to compliment that person. To communicate love and forgiveness apart from talking about what the person did. You know, mercy is something that grows inside of us, and as it grows inside of us, we see God's grace and His power to move and to change us. It moves us likewise to share it so that people can touch it, sense it, and know it. That's what Paul's talking about. Live by the mercies of God. He sums up our whole existence, and he's going to get very specific in the chapters to come. He's going to say, this is the reality of it. We saw a little bit of it in our reading. He talked about different gifts that people might have. One of them actually highlights mercy to the nth degree, but all of them include it. This gift comes from God. It's God's gift to you and through you. Does it change the world? It's changed me. It's changed you. It continues to. It's an amazing wisdom and insight from God. A beautiful revelation to us that we see in the person of Christ. May God strengthen you and bless you in the mercies of God. In Jesus' name, amen.